Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining me on Hashtag No Limits. I am your host, Shelley Kino, and today my guest is President of ZPods, George Bailey. Hashtag No Limits is about people who society places limits upon, but who have busted through those limits. Ophelia says in Hamlet, we know who we are, but not what we will be. And I believe that to be 100% true, and that there is no better example of that than the caterpillar turning into the butterfly. For those who don't know, the caterpillar literally dissolves into its cells and then it reforms into the butterfly. As if that isn't difficult enough, it then has to struggle in order for its wings to be strong enough to fly when it gets out of the cocoon. While none of that is easy, neither is busting through the limits that society places on people. And there are some tremendous limits placed upon people who have sensory needs and who have sleep deprivation problems and who have autism. And today, George is joining me from the inside of the ZPod bed. And for those of you who might have seen my announcement on Friday, I was also inside the ZPod bed last Friday, and I'll talk a little bit about that as we go on. But enough from me. George, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Shelley. It's great to see you. And it was wonderful to meet you in person the other day. I'm very impressed with everything that you're doing, and I'm grateful that we get to be a part of that in some small way.
Oh, thank you very much. And we did not coordinate wearing stripes today. I noticed it when he came on camera. I'm like, oh, okay, well, we're both wearing stripes.
But nothing makes a show better than coordinated dress. You know, it's, I think that, right. That we really lucked out. So,
yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, yes, my friend Fran just reminded me that if you are watching live, please let us know, hashtag live, and let us know where you're from. She's saying hi from Southern Illinois. And if you're watching in the replay, let us know, hashtag replay. If you have any questions or comments for George or myself during the show, please be sure to put them in the chat and I will be able to pull them up. So, yeah, George, going back, it was definitely awesome to meet you in person. And for anyone who doesn't know, George was on the show about a year and a half, 2 years ago. I think you were episode 14, and this is episode 101. So about 87 episodes ago. And there have been tremendous changes since then. But first, I think we need to talk about what the ZPod is, what it does, why it started, all that kind of stuff.
Excellent. Well, even before I jump into that, I want to say hello to Fran and anybody else. Thank you for joining. I actually just was driving through Southern Illinois yesterday on my way back from Indiana to St. Louis over Labor Day weekend. Beautiful time. I hope that everybody had a wonderful Labor Day weekend with their kids. So I've got 5 kids, and my oldest, Joseph, is autistic. And, you know, so a little bit about how ZPods got started or what it is that you're even looking at is it's effectively an enclosed sleep space for children that find that kind of enclosure comforting. You know, I think that all of us know and easily relate to that, you know, within the autism community and other special needs, sensory processing disorder is a big challenge that a lot of these kids face, and they experience the world differently. And it's fascinating that kind of the descriptions that I've listened to from, you know, other folks that I've talked to who have sensory challenges and so one of the things that we are trying to do is to give them a more ideal sleep space, not feeling so exposed to everything that's going on inside of their bedroom or the outside world, really a place where it's like the purpose of this place is to escape, get away from it all, relax, and then sleep. And so what you're dealing with now is just a space that is a lot more, we hope, cozy. You know, everybody has different feelings about enclosure, but my experience with my son and with other children has been that they love that getaway space. They love knowing that they're kind of safely tucked away to be able to rest their minds. And that's what we're really doing.
Yeah. And I have to say, I do have somewhat of claustrophobia. And I was really worried, honestly, when I came to the shop last week, because I thought, okay, I've seen it. You know, I've seen pictures of it. I've seen the videos of people in it. And you did your podcast with me exactly from, you know, similar, not exactly where you are, but the identical situation of being inside the ZPod. And I thought, I don't know if I could do this. And one of the things that I think we'll get to eventually is the type of doors that you had on your display that I was able to get into, I think really helped me to yeah. not feel that claustrophobic. But these beds aren't just for kids. And so, you know, as you and I talked about last week, claustrophobia really doesn't seem to be anything that children have. It does seem to be something that's developed as an adult or late teen. And so if there are any adults who would like this, you're going to fit in this bed. First of all, sorry, my earbud keeps falling out because I fit and I'm 5'8", and there was more than enough room for me. So if you do think, oh, I don't know if I could have those doors closed, which we'll show you a little bit later, you'll see what we mean when we get to showing you a picture of the bed that I was in, and why it's an enclosed space, but it's an open space kind of at the same time.
Yeah. Well, I think that you bring up a very interesting point, and that is that everybody's different, and adults in particular are a little bit more likely to be like, you know what, I don't want to enclose myself in anything. And we're not going to try to be everything to all people. I think that we got to be very careful about that. It's like you get this hammer and everything's a nail. Like, no, you know, that's not what it's like. I think that we're initially trying to work with children who really, you know, for whom this idea of enclosure is actually very comforting. And yet, that being said, I think that some people, you know, when I talk with them about the idea that we have an enclosed space that we're turning into a bed, they get the idea that it is really snug, like you're worming your way in there and you'll be lucky if you get out. Not at all. It's 6 feet, 5 inches from end to end. And I'm 6'2". I fit in quite comfortably. I'm sitting up right now. I'm sitting on the mattress and I'm not even close to hitting my head on the ceiling, you know, so it's actually quite spacious. And another, you know, another thing that kind of adds to a feeling of spaciness within containment is that we make sure that we have a mirror that, you know, we have in the, you know, beds right there. And I'll explain what you're seeing a little bit better, but you can see the mirror. What you're seeing outside of the mirror is a little bit less clear, but we can get into that later. The point is that I think that just because we're all about creating an enclosure doesn't mean that we don't sympathize with you and all of the other adults who are like, man, I don't want to feel like I'm cramped. You know,
right?
That's not comfortable either.
Right.
It's more a kind of a feeling, almost like a sensory hug, you know, or just sleeping in a little bit of a cocoon, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So these did not initially start out as being beds for people with sensory issues. Where did the idea of the Z-Pod come from?
It comes down to what started in China and Japan. You know, capsule beds are what they were using in airports, and you still see them in airports today. We brought them over from China because one of our friends in Florida was developing a spaceship-themed living space and needed beds that really looked the part. So that was the initial, you know, purpose of the bed was, hey, let's get these over here. Let's fit out this extraordinary, you know, kind of rental space, and then let's see what happens. Well, in the meantime, we had extras and we sat around the extras thinking, well, what do we do with these? Autism came up. I balked at that because I am the father of an autistic son and, you know, my daughter as well. So I know a thing or two about it. And I just kind of felt like, look, man, you know, the parents of autistic children, they have everything under the sun being shoved at them. And so I just don't want to be another one of those people. So I was pretty insistent that if we were going to do this, it needed to fit a real need. And the more I talked with doctors and specialists and families, therapists, I got a resounding yes. Go look at this, because not only do most children with autism have a chronic sleep disorder, but also most children with autism have sensory processing challenges, which means that it's difficult for them to kind of settle down. And my son most certainly has, you know, some challenges with sensory processing disorder. And so when I watched how quickly it helped him settle down, I was like, wow, okay, maybe there's something there. And the more we entertained it, you know, our first case study, which is something that we've, you know, talked a lot about with folks, a young woman who was sleeping 4 hours a night in her closet. And then once we set her up with her bed, she jumped to about 10 hours a night. That was
in a bed, not in a closet.
In our bed. It was shocking. And I just thought, like, oh my gosh, if we can reproduce that for other children, then we have something really meaningful to share. And that, so again, it was really shocking. And the thing that excited me the most is that, as opposed to, you know, let's say the tents, and we get a lot of parents who come to us and say, I've tried tents, but I really want to try what you're doing. And, you know, because their kids were just tearing the tents apart. And now we're trying to build something more durable. And so we have, you know, like a more of a, you know, plastic siding, and it's very stable and very sturdy. And it has, you know, we do give a limited lifetime warranty, you know, on the parts. That was a big deal to parents. A lot of, going back to what you said about kind of, you mentioned the door, that we have different options on the door. The broader point of how we started is that we listened really carefully to what parents wanted. And they wanted something easier to assemble than the first bed. So we changed the design. They said, hey, you know, I like the idea that my kid can be enclosed, but I want to be able to, like, look through the door to see if my kid's all right. So some of them said, you know, we have our standard is a non-transparent door. It's a dark gray. But our one door that we've come up with is, you know, you can see right there. That's literally a transparent screen that you have right there, you know, and that was because parents insisted, you know, and so we listen to the parents we work with a lot, and you have to be willing to listen. And sometimes it's not flattering. Sometimes they're like, look, I don't like this. You know, I really want to do this. And so you got to listen, and then you got to, you know, pivot, or you got to be able to change things. And so that's what we're really working on, is a bed that we hope is going to have more and more flexibility as the years go by. But I want to reiterate, always be listening, always, you know, pick up the phone, talk to people, you know, about that. So, yeah.
And one of the biggest changes that has happened since you were on the last time is where these are being made.
Yeah. I'm proud to say that whereas the first generation of Z-Pods were manufactured in China, again, that's where we sourced them when we started off, when we helped to outfit this rental space. But we were in the last, we started it in January, February, we discontinued sale of the China bed, and then made a shift over the course of months to selling a made in USA bed. We're very proud of that. It was very hard to do, and we're still kind of on the tail end of making sure that everything's, you know, ship shape with what it is that we're selling. We're always in touch with our manufacturers in Minnesota, and we're always giving them feedback. Here's where we need to see some, you know, changes, improvements. And they are an outstanding group of people. And, you know, I actually had the privilege of talking with a number of them about their own ties to the special needs community, because they got excited when they saw that what they were making. I remember going out in June to see the first shot or prototype, you know, and they got super excited about it. They were like, oh my gosh, what is this? Some of them had never even seen that their own factory was making this thing. And then we told them, like, yeah, this is a bed for kids with special needs. And, you know, inevitably people come up like, oh, my nephew, oh, my, you know, my friend's kid, or, you know, something like that. Or, you know, they have these relationships to the special needs community. And that's what I love about bringing this back to the United States, is we get to do something really cool that, you know, and to onshore some of these manufacturing projects.
Yeah. And I love it. I love that you're here in the United States, because it's just, I don't know, I just like it better that it's made in the USA. So can you see the picture of us standing in front of the beds? Okay. So yeah, as you were talking, I was trying to pull this up. And so yeah, the bed that he's in now is the one on the bottom, and the one on the top here is the original prototype, correct?
Yes, that yellow one, really, it didn't matter. They were trying to, get the shape and trying to make sure that the molds were actually producing exactly the, shape that they had created and we had designed. And so it came out yellow. We sell them really right now in one standard color, which is the light gray, almost white, that you see down below there. And our dream again goes back to what is it that the customer wants? What does the child want? If a kid would dig on a yellow bed, we want to be able to do that in the future where we can just, make or mold a bunch of yellow or blue or pink or whatever floats your boat. If you want to have every tile, because these are, you can see there's one stacked on top of another. If you want to have all of them be different colors, maybe one day we can do that. Unfortunately, not right now. These things take time and they, they take the resources and you can't just go make, 20 some odd beds of one color if you're not confident that people aren't going to buy them. You need to be able to, that's just part of the business aspect. And then of course, on the top layer, those dark gray doors are actually, pardon me, the standard for what it is that we put out right now. But we do want to, again, the dream is many, many different styles, and this is just the first step on that path.
Yeah. And so Fran has a question. She wants to know what is the circulation like?
Great question. So circulation is I think one of the bigger challenges with creating something like this, because there's no problem with airflow. Like, I can come out straight out and say, you're not going to suffocate someone in one of these. And there are a couple reasons why. Number one is that even between the doors, there's not a perfect seal. You can see in there a kind of a crack where the doors, I mean, they close all the way, but in between each of the two doors is, enough space for air to get through. And then, of course, we have you up there, you can see one fan, and in the opposing corner, in other direction, there's another fan. So we have a couple of fans. Even when the fans are turned off, it's not like if the fans go out, then all of a sudden it's like you got 5 minutes to get your kid out. So, it's like, no, it just means that the fans are off and those holes are still exposed holes, allowing airflow in. Now, what we're doing now, the first one had a fan, two fans going in. This one has a fan going in and a fan going out to increase circulation. And we are working on the fans, making them even better. Which I'm excited about, just to make sure that there's good airflow. The one thing, that we're mindful about is like, a lot of us who are involved in this project, I'd say most of us are parents. So anything, if it's a safety question, believe me, we're thinking about it like fiercely, our kids sleep in these things. So, I want to treat that seriously. I'm a parent. I get it. Like one of the great sources of pride in my life is that my kids are still alive, despite, and I don't want to be like dark or macabre here at all, but my sister refers to any child less than 5 years old is technically a suicide machine. Like they're
Wow.
just like, they're out to like, run in the street or anything like that. So we're all like, safety is like one of our biggest like obsessions. How do we make sure that this is safe? So
Yeah,
airflow is not a problem. Good
and do
question.
you have the fan on right now?
I do, yes.
And I can't hear it. I don't
Yep.
know if anyone else can hear the fan. And I tried to show the difference when I did my live from inside there the other day, that I turned the fan off and then I turned it back on to see if, maybe there was an audible difference that people could tell that were listening. But it was a very, very quiet fan, absolutely. So.
There, it does create a little bit of white noise, which is good actually, and that I don't mind. And matter of fact, on that same line, going back to, listening to the parents and listening for ideas, a lot of parents said, "Hey, does this thing come with speakers?" And the first generation, no, they didn't come with speakers. But now, as you can see, both here and over here, you have these speakers on, which was an addition that we created. They're Bluetooth, so parents can, from out the outside, actually, pipe in additional white noise if that's what they want, or some sort of soothing sleep track if that's what their kids enjoy. It's pretty chill.
Yeah. So talk a little bit about, well, first let me say, she says, thank you. Was just thinking more of those who sleep with fans.
You're welcome.
That's a question. Do you have any outlets in there? Or how would somebody, like if they did want a teeny tiny little fan on top of what you already have, or if they wanted some other device, is there some sort of electrical outlet in there?
So it's limited. I mean, if you look at the control panel right here, you can see these are USB ports. Uh-huh. But typically for a fan, you're not going to be able to do that. So the way that you would do it is you could easily kind of drill a small hole in the back here and then run a cord through it. So that wouldn't be difficult to do. If you need additional fans, we are, you know, hopefully we're going to keep on working on the fan power, you know, because we think a lot about that. And, you know, my kids, especially my second son, obsesses over sleeping with a fan. Like there's something about the white noise. There's something about the power of it and all like that, you know, so I totally get that. There's always a way to add things. And that's one of the things, again, that we're always kind of thinking about is how do you make this as modular as possible? So, yeah, good question.
Yeah. And so, if you don't mind, I know you did this the first time we had you here, but I would like for you to do it for those who haven't seen the first one. Can you talk about, you know, the mirror and the lights around it and some of the other little things that you have in this bed that, are those ways that will help kiddos, you know, maybe get more relaxed or.
So this goes to a question, and I'll show it in a second. This goes to a question that I frequently get asked, and that's like, well, why does it work? And the honest answer is, I don't know. you know, that's like, you know, the technical answer right there.
Right.
Because, you know, we're still in the process of putting together the financing for clinical trials. That's something we want to do to make insurance coverage easier. That's a big goal of ours right there. But from what we gather and what we've observed, what about it makes it work is first and foremost the idea that it's an enclosure. Something about that is helping, you know, these kids relax. Now, how do you quantify that in any sort of meaningful fashion? That's one of the really big questions that we deal with. But then of course it's also giving a kid a sense of control. And when they get in there and they see like a control panel, like, oh, cool. I get to kind of, you know, do this. And, you know, so you have your, you know, speakers right there. The speakers are off, you know, you know, but you can turn the volume up or down depending on, you know, how loud you want that to be. The fans, I turn the fan on and off with that button, and then I can turn them up with that, down with that. And then this, you know, mirror light, I can, you know, we try to give it as much full spectrum as possible, you know, so you have more colors than we did in the first generation. And, you know, we're going to keep on working on kind of developing out the full spectrum feel and stuff like that. But here's the really incredible thing. This is the part that just blows my mind that I'm really excited about with the control panel. There are two things. Number one is that we already do have a Droid device app that allows you to be able to control the bed from outside of the bed. And that's good. And of course, we're working on developing one for Apple as well, which I really want because, you know, that's what I'm all about. Right there, you know. So number one is being able to control it from outside of the bed. Again, that was parent feedback. That wasn't our idea. Parents said, I want to be able to control this from outside or lock, you know, again, you know, lock this particular setting where lights must go off at 8:30 or, you know, whatever it is that, you know, you think is wise for your own child's bedtime. The second thing that really excites me is that once you've bought the parts, if we have an upgrade that comes down the line, for example, you buy it with the standard gray doors. Finally, your kid's like, you know what, man, I want to be able to do this with the doors or this with the doors. You don't need to order the entire bed. You just order the parts that you want. So the control panel, as we see upgrades and some of the technology, which we are going to, we're already working on it, then you don't need to repurchase the entire bed. Our goal is that you just need to, you know, upgrade to whatever it is that you would like to upgrade to. And, you know, the old bed, you couldn't have done it with. And the old bed was so difficult. It literally took 3-4, sometimes 5 hours just to assemble one of those things. It was a beast and very heavy. And the new bed is half of its weight. Now, I don't want to give you the impression that means it's light. It's still heavy. I mean, like, you know, we tell people, like, if you're assembling this, you are better off assembling this with a friend. Mm-hmm. You know, two able-bodied people ought to be assembling this, you know, and no one under the age of 18. You know, that, so it's not light per se, but it's half the weight as the first generation. And whereas the first generation took at least 3 hours to put a bed together, this one takes about 20 minutes, 30 minutes to put a bed together. So the design, the upgrade in the design was substantial. You know, so we didn't just kind of repackage the China bed anymore. We said, no, this is ours, and we want to be able to have a bed that's much more modular, meaning that you can switch and kind of, you know, alter a lot more easily than you ever could the initial. And going back to, you know, Fran's great question about, you know, can you add a larger fan if that's something you really want? Yeah, that was our goal, is that, you know, if you want to add a, you know, a video camera, you know, or if you want to add, you know, if you're a public space and you want to be able to put one on, you want to add a television, you can do that. Now, I'm going to be very frank. There are parents who use television to mount televisions on these. I don't recommend it. And when asked, I'm always, you know, just, hey, you know, everything I've ever read says you and I, you know, should not have a television in our bedroom, let alone a child. So it's not my recommendation, but at the same time, I don't want to be too fast to judge on that, because there are some kids who are just different. And for me to kind of make the blanket statement that, you know, it's never okay, I just, like, I don't know all of the ins and outs of how, you know, your child works. And so my objective is, if you want to be able to make it happen, then I want to be able to help you make it happen. You know, and parents are the best judges of what is good for their children. But yeah.
Yeah. So something that just dawned on me, and I want to show you Fran's message here. She said, it's neat to see how you're continually seeking to improve. And I absolutely agree with that. And this sort of feeds into that comment. As I was looking at the lighting the other day when I was in it, and just now as you were demonstrating it, I was thinking about our first episode. And it's just now dawned on me what the difference was, because it was harder to see the light, not to see the light changes, but to because the last time it was like you were all orange or you were all purple. And yeah. I was like, it's the doors. Dark gray doors made a huge difference in the light inside, even in the middle of the day.
Well, I'll tell you that one of the things that we changed that also made a huge difference, and it's, for some people, it was a little bit downer of a downer that we omitted this, that we made a left something out that was in the first generation. But then the people who actually own the bed know exactly why we got rid of it. So what I'm referring to is the ceiling light. In the video, like, you know, it may look kind of cool and stuff like that. But then when you realize how flimsy it is, and I have it, so it's not, you know, like, two of my beds, or the two that I own at home, for one for my daughter, one for my son, you know, there, it's easy to kind of break if you pull down on it. There was a ceiling cover, basically, and it created a lot of challenges, and it also was easily getting busted while shipping. And you know, so maybe one day we'll be able to recreate something like that. We have a few ideas about how we might be able to do that, you know, but I think that it was really essential to back off and say, hey, we need to break this down to something that's a lot easier to use for the end user, because the existence of that ceiling light alone added a substantial amount of time onto assembly. It created a lot of, the, you know, there were a lot of, every once in a while we get one that was damaged, and that was a huge pain for everybody concerned. And no one wants to go through that. So, you know, our determination, our goal is that anytime that we add something from this point, it's got to be durable. And going back to what I said about, you know, the bed, I mean, I'm confident. I mean, one of the things that we're kind of hoping to do soon is we need to get a demo where we have one of these, you know, bolted together, and then just drop it off a roof and see what happens. you know, because it's
make sure really, you feel that. That's always cool.
it's kind of gimmicky and stuff like that. But at the same time, it going back to the security and safety issue that we discussed earlier, you know, parents want to know, like, hey, you know, is this thing durable? I mean, unequivocally, this thing right here that I'm inside is very durable. Mm-hmm. You know, we sock at it and stuff like that. And it's great. It has a lot of, I don't know, you can feel it in the pieces that they're very tough. And yet right. there's just enough give for the special needs child that, you know, they're not going to, like, for example, head bunter, what is that called? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, but they need that proprioception. So they hit their head a lot.
Yeah, yeah. So head butters and stuff like that are not going to get, you know, like any real, you know, injury from this because there's, you know, a good amount of give. That being said, though, we are working on kind of like a cushion solution and stuff like that. You know, so going back to that core theme, you know, what is the kid going to be able to tolerate? What are they going to enjoy? What's going to keep them safe?
Right. Fran has another excellent question. How easy is it to clean?
That to me, I love that. Like, it's funny because that thought came later. It took a while for me to kind of like, for it to dawn on me, like, oh yeah, you're going to want to really clean this thing up regularly and stuff like that. And fortunately, the answer has always been fairly easy. You know, a matter of fact, that was one of the things that excited us so much going back to the tent comparison is that you don't have to like send this thing through the washing machine. You don't have to disassemble it to clean it. You literally get in, you could take those two doors that, you know, you saw in the picture, you can remove those and then you have full access to the bed. It's easier to make it, easier to clean it. You literally just have to like, you know, you can wipe it down or just do a standard, you know, cleaner. We're actually right now determining the best kind of cleaner to use with it. But my favorite personally, I'm so glad that I had kids because then I could discover my favorite cleaning solution ever on the face of the planet. And that is baby wipes.
Oh, really?
Like I'll grab baby wipes. I'll clean all day with those. Like I'll clean, you know, the dust on my wall. When we got back from our car trip yesterday and cleaned out the car, got all the, you know, crumbs and stuff like that out. And, you know, then I go, the last thing I do is I run one, you know, like maybe five or six of those baby wipes over the dash and over the, you know, upholstery. And those are like miracle workers right there, man. So I don't care. Like if I have to keep having babies so that we can have more of those baby, I don't think that's going to be required of me. So, you
know. Yeah, I'm sure your wife will be more than happy to just have cases of baby wipes supplied and no extra children around.
It is the total opposite in our house. I'm telling you right now, she's the one who's always kind of pushing for more. And I'm just like, are you sure, honey?
I was just thinking of the whole pregnancy, you know, that she has to go through that and you don't. So
loves it. And not every woman's the same. And if you don't love it, you know, you don't need to feel bad. No one's competing here. But just a little bit of, you know, private information about the baby household is that my wife loves being in the Bailey household. My wife loves being pregnant. That's funny, but you know, we love wipes. I'm going to buy those wipes all day long. And to Fran's question, very easy to clean. And, you know, like literally that you could take the mattress out easily because you can take the doors out. The first generation, you couldn't do that. It had one sliding door and you had a front panel and that door was embedded in the panel. So if you wanted full access, you had to literally remove the four bolts that were securing that front panel to the rest of the bed. And then you had to have two people heft off that one panel and put it somewhere. Now it's like literally you have two doors. You just grab them by the side, lift, tilt out, and then remove. You could remove the doors on this thing in seconds and then clean it out. It's easy.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically like, it's just plastic in a, I mean, I don't know if that's the technical term of what it's called, but that's basically what it all feels like. It's all pretty smooth and it's all, You know, yeah. I mean, at least that was my impression. So I do want to show, if it's okay with you, the video from your website that has, you're in it, but there's a few students, a few children in it. And I think maybe Natalie is the one that you spoke about earlier who went from
She's in there as well.
Okay. So if that's okay with you, that might give them a little bit better feel for what this is like.
Helps me sleep.
It's easier for an autistic person to sleep in there. I see, but
sorry, can you hear it okay?
Yeah, I'm going to mute myself so you don't get any sort of feedback. Yeah, I hear it just fine.
Okay, perfect.
It helps me sleep better.
So Z-Pod allows for complete control of your sleep environment.
The big idea is, how do we help people sleep better? I'm George Bailey, and I'm the president of Z-Pods.
My name is Jeff Wade, and I am one of the co-founders of Z-Pods.
I like that I can close the Z-Pod and that it's around me so nothing can come in there.
Micah is 10. She was staying up for like 3 days at a time. We tried weighted blankets, melatonin. We've tried a sleep study because we thought she had sleep apnea. My experience with the Z-Pod has been wonderful. Micah's sleep has changed tremendously. I'm getting more sleep because she's getting sleep.
Because of her autism diagnosis and her schizophrenia diagnosis, she was up all night.
And I wasn't doing well in school. I used to sleep in a closet.
That was the only place that she was feeling comfortable at the time. Since she started with the Z-Pod, her sleeping has improved. The first night, she was in bed, on time, and asleep.
My son, Juden, he's neurotypical. It takes him 2 hours to get to bed at night. But with Z-Pod, it's completely transformed his sleeping.
With Joseph, he's autistic. He's very high energy, high anxiety. Joseph would just bounce around his room all the time at night. Joseph has been using his bed now for almost 2 years. It has become like a real nook for him, just a place where he just feels restored.
Helped him decompress, helped him wind down.
I read in my Z-Pod, I play games in my Z-Pod.
Now that he's sleeping better, I think that all of us are sleeping better. We have taken all of the suggestions that we've received from parents about how we can improve this technology, and we've put together a really exciting new bed that we're going to be releasing onto the market.
So we've partnered with a local manufacturer who's invested into Z-Pod.
We've got speakers in the new Z-Pods that will allow you to play nature tracks or meditation tracks.
We're going to be creating what we call a sleepscape, where the sleep environment changes according to your individual preference. What we want to do is we want to give a name to sleep that gets kids excited to do this thing that is critical to their health.
I could recommend it to good people. Have you ever slept in the Z-Pod?
That's awesome.
I love that kid. he's a constant source of joy in my life, and he is a really good kid. It's always fun to watch him and to watch his growth, and you know how much more verbal he's become than when he was a child, and he's just a kick. Love him.
Yeah. So the reason I wanted to show that is just for that little bit of comparison, because if anyone hasn't watched, like I said, the first episode, and you're talking about one sliding door versus what you have now, the shape was a little bit different. I really like this part of that video where it pulls it all apart and then just sort of puts it all back together. And I mean, that's almost really what you literally have to do.
It is that simple. You know, and it's and the way that we bolt it together, everything like that, it just makes it a very secure piece.
So I did. Fran had shared this before I shared the video. So she makes her own cleaner by soaking orange peels in vinegar.
Ooh, see, I like that.
Yeah. So let's talk about the future.
It's probably a super good natural cleaner, by the way. Not as chemically as some of the stuff that you're seeing out there. And of course, you know, anything that's zesty. I know that orange, actually citrus has a greater appeal from a scent perspective than a lot of other smells within the autism population. Somebody was even telling me that lavender, which is traditionally, you know, associated with being able to relax and stuff like that, can come across as more, a little bit too astringent for some folks within the autism community. And again, it's like, I never heard that. I haven't seen any surveys, but I just found it very curious. So yeah, we have a scent, where is on this side, this is our little Z-Pod's scent tab right there. This one actually has a citrus smell as well. So,
that's funny.
We're working on some smell factor stuff because eventually it can't just be about lighting and cooling and sound. I think that smell removal of certain kind of, odors is also a really big part of creating an ideal sleep environment. So we're going to keep on going down that rabbit hole of like, what's the next adventure in improving the environment, basically,
Right. So I said I wanted to talk about the future, but I think before I do that, I do want to have you. So because we were talking about the inside and sort of like the cleaning ability of it, but kids can, and we saw a little bit of it in the video, they can make these their own. So like they can hang stuff up, but can you move your camera around a little bit and show some of the little cubby spots?
Oh yeah. And that we thought about making it a little bit more flat, but the fact of the matter is we got a lot of feedback saying like, my kid loves having like a little nook right there. We got another little nook right there and, right there. And, so there are nooks all the way around and flat surfaces most of the way. It's a kind of a wavy top. It's hard to see it. If you can,
I think it's showing. Yeah.
Yeah. It shows up, but a little bit of a wavy top, but all the way around, I'm not opposed to kids sticking stickers there and stuff like that. And if that's what helps them relax, I do advise though that, if you find that your child is still just not settling down, then maybe it needs to be more sterile, because the whole purpose is that that you want them to always, whenever they get in their sleep environment, you want them always to feel like, hey, like this is my space, and it's removed, all distractions are removed. But that being said, my kid loves putting Marvel stickers in there and it hasn't been an issue for him. Like, it's his own space. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't have a great sense of smell anymore. I had COVID a few years ago and lost my sense of smell, and it's come back, but it is not like it used to be. So I didn't even notice the scent when I was in there the other day. I saw the Z-Pods hanging there and I thought, oh, it's like a little advertisement. I didn't even know the fact that it could smell.
No, it's a scent.
But you were telling me some, what I think are super exciting things that you're anticipating being able to do within the Z-Pod in the coming years. I mean, this might be, kind of pretty far down the road, but.
It is pretty far down the road, but the bigger vision for what we're trying to do, and this is the part, like, as you listen, take it all with a grain of salt, but recognize that what we're describing is going to happen. The question is, are we going to be instrumental in bringing it about, or are other companies going to do it? But this is what it comes down to. And it is that our sleep environment is a core part of our sleep quality. It's not everything. I don't think it replaces good sleep hygiene. I don't think it replaces, exercise and your diet in terms of some of the determiners for how well you're going to sleep, or maybe there's some physiological factors, or genetic factors that may make it more difficult or less difficult for you to be able to sleep. But my point is that no matter what kind of a sleeper you are, you still want to have a good sleep environment. And I illustrate this by saying, like, if you were to sleep kind of outside in the middle of the city, like let's say just like on a sidewalk in New York City, and unfortunately there are people who do, and it's sad, but the point is that you're not going to get good sleep. And as a matter of fact, they actually don't. There's plenty of studies now that show that if you're homeless, your sleep quality is poor just because, maybe you don't have, these stereotypes, you don't have anything to do all day. Well, no, it doesn't matter. Your sleep is going to be garbage because inside is this kind of fear that, something could happen. You're vulnerable. You're exposed at a time when you're least capable of defending yourself. So my point is that your sleep environment is actually kind of, there's a built-in part of us that responds to sleep environment and that feels secure or insecure depending on the safety that is conveyed by that environment. So
absolutely. Sorry to interrupt, but I think about like Fran actually loves to camp in a tent. I'm not a big tent camper because I don't feel as safe. You know, like we have a tent, but if it starts to pour down rain, I'm almost instantly like, okay, checking for water, checking, you know, for, you know, is the wind going to be too strong and knock it over? So I totally understand what you're saying, because if you don't feel safe, then that is going to be weighing on you. And maybe you might not sleep at all, or you might not sleep as soundly. So I completely, and I appreciate that analogy and of being on the sidewalk. And because it is, you could be dog tired, as they say, but if you don't feel, if you don't have a good sleep environment, it's not, it still may not help you.
Yeah. And interestingly enough, you know, it's believed that one of the factors that feeds, you know, so if you're homeless, it is very likely that you also have some sort of mental illness, you know, whether that's schizophrenia or something else. And it's believed that not only do those factors make it more likely that you may end up on the street, but once you're on the street with those factors, they then form a vicious cycle with your sleep, because if you're not sleeping well enough, then that exacerbates some of the underlying issues that you may have brought, you know, to that situation. And it's very unfortunate. And of course, that's something, you know, that we want to do something about as a society, but what it means for us and what we see out of that is that, you know, your sleep environment is important. And so what we think is coming down the line is eventually that, you know, we've already teamed up with a team of students at Washington University in St. Louis, their Department of Biomedical Engineering, and we're trying to develop sensors that are as little invasive as possible, where you don't even need to have, you know, something on your wrist. Though I think that's great. You know, if you've got like a Fitbit or something else like that, that's spectacular. But you're going to have sensors around your sleep area that pick up your sleep performance, and those are going to feed your sleep environment, which in turn is going to respond to what it's seeing. So if the lights discover that your circadian rhythm is doing better when the lights come on 17 minutes, you know, they start dimming on 17 minutes prior to you waking up, as opposed to, you know, 15 minutes or 13 minutes, whatever that magic number is, it's going to be different from individual to individual, and your environment's going to be able to sense it and then respond to that. And so our goal down the line, not just with, you know, kids with autism, but with any kid is, you know, or with anybody, is how do we create an environment that really responds to the specific profile, you know, of the occupant. And so I see that as being in the future. I was validated. I've been saying that for a while now. And then I just finished reading Matthew Walker's book, Why We Sleep. And in the last 10 pages, he says, here's what's coming down the line with sleep. You know, and it, like he described it almost exactly as I would have described it on what's going to be happening within your home. And that was really cool because it wasn't like I thought of this idea or he thought of this idea. I think that the idea itself is the logical outcome of all of the technologies that we're developing right now in sensor, in environmental control, and in artificial intelligence. It's all, you know, building towards these kind of next gen technologies that aren't quite ready, but they're getting there.
Yeah.
I'm really excited that we get to be working on something like this. And we are working with people who do have like real technological savvy, and I love talking to them. I mean, they can do really cool stuff, and we're trying to, you know, do this, and, you know, we'll see where it goes.
Yeah. When you shared that with me the other day, I don't know if you saw, but my eyes just went like, I could just imagine all the wonderful things that could develop from this, because of, I know, you know, that certain sounds, certain lights, certain smells, you know, and how important our sleep is to everything, you know, that we do, and especially our children and their behaviors. And if we can pinpoint that information to like, oh, you know, and I think we talked about this the other day, and I don't think you just mentioned it, that, you know, like if maybe the sleep pattern starts, like the child starts to wake up before they're supposed to, but we know that, you know, they just need to have a little bit extra white noise right now to help calm them down. You know, that's the hope too, is that there will be something within all of those systems that will be able to pick that up and help the kids get more sound sleep. And because, I mean, again, we know that the science shows that the more sound sleep you get, the more your body is able to digest all those millions and millions of bits of information that you've been exposed to throughout your time awake, and get rid of that stuff and hold on to the stuff that you need to. And then you can start fresh the next day and be ready to absorb more information. So if something can be developed like that, and, you know, and especially for kiddos with autism and any kind of sensory issues, that is even more prevalent in their lives, that lack of sleep or lack of sound sleep.
Yeah.
So that's very exciting. And this is not exciting though, Fran. I sure could have used a Z-Pod last night going on 34 hours awake.
Oh, Fran, bless your heart. So sorry. You know, get some good rest. It really does matter. It's good for your health. The health benefits, and of course you probably don't need to hear that, but whatever your case is, I hope that you're able to get more sleep tonight.
Yeah. And so we've got about 8 minutes. So I do want to talk about, and I always try to save this to the very end, but I know it needs to be discussed. So what is the cost of this? Because, you know, I'm thinking, gosh, you know, I've heard of therapy beds for different things, and I've heard of beds kind of like what you're talking about. You know, in the tens of thousands of dollars. So your average person isn't going to be able to afford something like this. And you did talk about insurance before. And so talk about insurance, what kinds of connections, if you have any, with insurance companies, and any kind of financial assistance, and what is the final cost? Or the base cost, maybe, is the better.
For a consumer who just comes and buys it straight from us, it would be $5,000. And we recognize that's not. Yeah, I mean, the things that I would invite people to consider is, you know, number one, what is the value of sleep? You know, and number two is, how much are you going to spend on, you know, any bed? And then automatically deduct that from the price, because, you know, if you're going to buy a bed, you're going to buy a bed. And you know, but that's not to make light of the cost. You know, we know that it can be hard for some people. So we're constantly on the lookout for alternatives for how to make this more accessible. You know, for example, we've had Variety, St. Louis has donated quite a few of our beds to families in need, you know, and they've said, hey, we'll do it if they can demonstrate that, you know, they have a doctor's prescription or something like that. Then, and we have other organizations that we're contacting around the country to make sure that they're familiar with us, what it is that we're trying to provide for these kids, you know, and so there are, you know, different organizations out there that might be able to help. We have gotten it funded in different states. Missouri, Minnesota, Ohio, and California have all funded the bed. Massachusetts has funded one through its assistive technology program. I would always look at your state's assistive technology program. Every state has one. And, you know, ask them, like, what resources do you have to help me with the funding? Sometimes they'll provide very, very low interest loans. And that's always a huge part of, you know, making it more accessible. And then we do offer financing, we offer leasing, we've done that before. And we've had a number of parents really aggressively pursue state funding. And it does take an aggressive effort to really get that underway, because it's not, you know, the state is going to push back a little bit, and they're going to say, well, what's your justification? You know, so with all of those, we're always ready to help and have a discussion. Maybe there's nothing we can do, but maybe there is. So I would urge listeners that if you're even considering, and if price is the thing that has you, you know, backed up and thinking like, no, maybe not, at least contact us, because you never know. We may be able to find something, some resource that would be helpful in your geographical area. And as I mentioned before, we are working on putting together clinical trials. Very expensive, but the payoff that we see is the ability to make claims and then to be able to approach insurance companies and to, you know, persuade them, like, look, if something like this, I mean, you know, Natalie had been She had been in the hospital 11 days consecutive prior to getting her bed to be treated for severe sleep deprivation. You run the numbers on, you know, what's more expensive. And I think you'll realize that, yeah, okay, $5,000 bed is not that big of a deal after all. If, and this is, you know, the big if it's helpful. And again, we don't make medical claims. We don't know which child this is going to work for. We know only that it has worked for a specific set of children, typically those who sleep under the bed, typically those who sleep in the closet, or who really have a strong preference or disposition towards nooks. You know, that those kids seem to find a extraordinary level of restfulness and peace in our beds. And so, you know, I want to be really honest there. We still don't know, but we want to know, and we want to find ways to make this thing better. So I hope that answers your question on the price.
It does. And one of the great things, I'm just quickly looking at your website because I thought I had seen this, but I didn't want to say it until I was certain. There's a trial period that they could. Yeah. So, I mean, 100 days, that's a little over 3 months. And you'll get a good idea in that 3 months if your sleep patterns or your child's sleep patterns are better. And as the person from the special education world of the two of us here, like I mentioned, sleep and behaviors go hand in hand. Yes, the better sleep somebody has, the better their behaviors are going to be as far as how they're able to function, how they're able to solve problems, how they're able to communicate what their needs are. And I mean, I couldn't even tell you the number of studies that correlate sleep and behaviors together.
And so, that's across the board. That's from children, whether or not they have special needs, all the way up to adults. You and I know that, and I don't think anybody debates that if I'm underslept, I'm a terrible human being, you know, and both in terms of my temper, but also in terms of my efficacy. So imagine what that means for kids. You know, I think that's what I would love to see. And we have seen some behavioral challenges. Like the most validating experiences we've had so far are the blind ones, not literally, but in the sense where a teacher who knows nothing about the procurement of the bed by the family comes up to mom or dad and says, "So what's going on differently in Johnny or Sally's life? You know, like what's going on? Because I see differences. What have you changed? His diet is like what, you know?" And then they'll tell him like, no, he's just getting better sleep. And that's a very validating thing to have said, particularly because they didn't know. Right. You know, there was no bias. They didn't know that there was a bed in the works or that there didn't been any change at all.
Yeah, absolutely. So I just want to quickly throw out an idea, because I know we did talk about this the other day, is like not just for sleeping, but like you had mentioned earlier, like having this in a public space for sort of a sensory calm down zone.
Yeah,
so that is very quickly discuss that.
We'll do. I mean, you know, we've been in talks with a number of kind of, you know, sensory processing oriented organizations that are trying to create more awareness and trying to create a more restful space, even within public spaces. And so, you know, I hope to see more of these in those spaces where kids can use them as a getaway to decompress and to recover when they feel dysregulated.
Yeah. And I know I told you this, but I'm going to call her out because I'm not sure I asked her to join today and I don't know if she has, but my friend Jamie, who is trying to bring spirit, or she's going to, I'm just calling it out there. She is going to bring Spirit of Discovery
that's
Park.
Well underway. I love the news. Yeah. That I'm doing, that's well underway.
Yeah. And so, yeah, just getting all the little ducks in a row and everybody to coordinate and collaborate with one another. And, but yeah, I mean, a place like Six Flags, a place like Spirit of Discovery Park, a place like, Disney World and Disneyland, you know,
sports,
I mean, those,
arenas,
yeah,
airports.
Yeah. I mean, those can certainly, be places where I could see this in use and used well. And then that's definitely when how easy does it clean come into play? So, George, it's been fabulous having you with me again today. I was just checking who I have next week so that I could announce it, but I don't have official word yet, so I can't say who my guest is next week. But I appreciate, Fran, you being here and for all of your input. For anyone who is watching the replay, if you have questions, there's something that you thought of, maybe a suggestion for the next generation of Z-Pod bed, put it in there. I will make sure that George gets it. Thank you, everyone that is watching or will watch. And George, again, it was great meeting you in person and so awesome to have you on the show again today.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, Sally.
Bye, everyone.
Hey, parents and teachers, are you tired of IEP meetings that feel like a battle? Let's put an end to the tension and create a collaborative, calm, and respectful environment together. Shelly Kino, your go-to IEP consultant, can transform your meetings into positive and productive experiences. With Shelly Kino, your child is her top priority, your voice is heard, and you become confident. Shelly Kino is making the world better for all, one IEP at a time. Visit www.shellykino.com for more information and set up your free 20-minute consultation today. That's shellykino.com, S-H-E-L-L-E-Y-K-E-N-O-W.